Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast. It provides podcasters with a flat rate for ad space. You always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo.
This weekend, WWE inducted their Hall of Famers from the 2020 class, 2021 class, one of which was John Bradshaw Layfield, a man who has made his money in and out of the wrestling ring. He is a millionaire.
JBL accounts. Is not a billionaire.
He might honestly be a billionaire. We will never know. The man has made so much money through investments and all that stuff. But you know what you should do is invest in yourself, invest in your podcast, make some money off your creative thoughts, and get in with Podgo, because there's no better way to get the Podgo money than to start off.
Yeah, you can't get the Podgo money without signing up for Podgo. So when you go and sign up for Podgo at podgo.co, podgo.co, you should also make sure that you tell them, hey, we heard about this from Crossbody at Work. We heard about it from the boys. There's a little, how did you hear about Podgo? You tell them that we sent you. That's podgo.co, podgo.co. Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And we're talking about a Royal Rumble match.
Yes, my favorite kind of podcast has returned. As everyone knows, Evan and I love a good Royal Rumble. We are big fans of these battle royals that are larger than life. And this week we are doing one that the fans voted on rather than having complete creative autonomy over, which I don't exactly like, but I'm okay with. Evan, which one are we doing this week?
We gave a little bit to the people, and the people decided that we're covering the 2000 Royal Rumble. That's right, the Y2K Rumble.
Y2K, maybe a little bit of Y2J, who knows?
Who knows? We'll see. I mean, you might if you've seen it before.
That is also true.
I mean, spoilers for something that's 21 years old already.
This is also on YouTube, so like...
Yeah, I saw that. I watched it through Peacock and then saw after when I was Googling something about it that it was on YouTube, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, the whole thing's on YouTube. I knew it was on YouTube, so I didn't even bother looking at our regular like sheet that Evan puts all the links into. I know you probably did put a lot of effort into getting that in there.
I mean, it's one link. It wasn't the worst thing in the world. Also, the Peacock... port is still going well. They're coming along strong. They've gotten some more pay-per-views, so we should be able to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. Again, we're not gonna have ECW stuff for a while probably, or WCW stuff, but we're gonna try to get back to our regularly scheduled programming after next week's episode. Again, next week's episode is The Shield. We're covering just The Shield, not Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose single career. Just The Shield and their time.
This is our most hyped podcast of all time. I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
I mean, it's a pretty good one. I expect it to do some numbers. I expect to do some numbers.
Yeah, the people better listen, because damn it, I put 2 weeks worth of advertising onto it.
We've really been putting the shine on this one. So we are going to talk about the 2000 Royal Rumble. We're also going to talk about WrestleMania 37, because the wonderful Toonet event happened this past weekend as of our time of recording. So we're going to get to that in just a second. But first, the socials. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Crossbody of Work. Follow us on Instagram. Maybe we'll post more on Instagram. Do that.
You go Crossbody of Work. You're the I don't even know what the password is for the Instagram. That's true. This is all you. I don't Instagram, mind you. Yeah, Evan knows. Evan follows me on there for some reason. I don't Instagram.
It's true. You lurk, though. You lurk hard.
I lurk hard. I'm on Instagram a lot. It's memes. I go for the memes. And my buddies send each other memes. My Explore page is just all FIFA, like Broadway stuff, and then just insane amount of memes.
Yeah. My Explore is memes, NBA content, and football content. That's about it. Just as all it those things. Be. Yeah. Also, make sure that you are subscribed to us wherever you are listening to your podcast, whether you're on the Apple Pods, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you are. You should subscribe to us. Also, tell a friend. Hey, these boys, you like old wrestling? These guys, they got you covered.
And if you don't have friends, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'll be your friend. We are your friends.
We are your friends. Yeah, we're your boys. Come hang out with us. Tell us about your day. As always, the merch table is open, fullpressshop.com. One additional plug. I have been doing lots of fun stuff on the Pop Capsule podcast with my friend Mallory. We talk about old pop culture things. Listen to us on Apple, Spotify, or Libsyn. Libsyn. Libsyn.
We've also gotten to the point, you did something with the Workaholics, and I was like, at one point, is this now part of a capsule thing? Am I old?
10 years ago.
Am I old? Is Workaholics now old?
Yeah, I have found that with a couple of the things we covered. The episode that came out this week was Fast 5, and I realized
One of my favorite movies ever.
I did not. Fast and Furious movies are not for me. I don't.
They're
not my vibe.
Evan, this is where the heel turn's coming in.
Sorry,
this is where it
gets hit with a chair. Yeah.
This is where it starts. I'm the biggest Fast franchise fan. I love every single movie. I see the newest trailer for Fast 9 came out yesterday. It's like 3.5 minutes, and I'll be damned if by the end of it I wasn't ready to just say screw not going to the movie theater anymore. June 25th or whenever it is that comes out, I will be there. Give me the most expensive theater possible where I get the best quality. Give me the biggest tub of popcorn, the biggest slushy available. And I will have both my vaccine shots by then. If you don't already, sign up for the vaccine. It's a good thing to have.
Yeah, there you go. Good plug.
But I want to be entertained by cars flying now. And I want to be entertained by the most obscene type of action imaginable.
I think that's where I don't get it.
A wrestling fan. How is this?
I know.
Like,
I don't know.
You
I
can
just,
suspend
just
your disbelief
for
men in tighty whities, but you can't freaking.
My main issue was, you know, it's like, hey, now these guys who used to just be street racers, by the way, they raced in straight lines. I don't know where they became the world's best drivers of all time. I don't get it. Whatever.
First off, if you watch Too Fast, Too Furious, they go through a fucking billboard. In one
now
of them.
They're
like,
the ones who are in charge of like stopping major crime units across the world. There are people for that already. There are people who have dedicated their whole life instead of Vin Diesel and Ma Familia.
There's no one better.
Anyways, go listen to me rant about it on the other Pop Capsule podcast. Go listen to me there. Let's talk about WrestleMania 37.
If you don't want to hear us talk about WrestleMania 37, like, I will be very offended, but Evan won't be if you just skip forward a little bit.
Because I'm the babyface here.
I wish I could tell you how long this is going to go. Who knows? You've listened to this podcast. We do things that tend to last a long time for some reason.
We go on tangents, but let's say, you know, skip at least 10 minutes ahead.
Yeah, something like that. If you still hear us talking about modern day wrestling and you're disappointed, eventually we'll get to The Rock.
Yeah. Eventually, we're going to get to the Royal Rumble 2000, but we're going to talk about WrestleMania 37. What were your thoughts overall on the two-night event?
I love this two-night thing.
It's
so good.
It's the best.
Dude, WrestleMania was only like 3 hours or something like that, if that. You know, delays aside, obviously, for the rain on the first night and stuff like that. It was only about 3 hours, and honestly, perfect. Like, that is beautiful. I don't need any more than that. I thought for the most part, most of the matches on both nights delivered. The main events of each night far surpassed my expectations, which were already lofty, to say the least. And man, such great moments, you know, and you could see that there were a lot of the wrestlers there were just genuinely happy to finally not only, you know, be in a real WrestleMania setting, but to have fans back. Like, dude, fans, I know it's definitely not safe to do something like that right now, and it's definitely
a scary
experience.
Especially with the amount that fans were struggling to keep the mask over their nose.
Yes.
People, it goes over the whole thing. Come on.
Yeah.
You've done this for a year.
That sucked. But, like, it was just nice. There's just a hum of noise that you get when you have an arena full of people that I just miss. I really just miss that. So to finally be able to get that, it was everything I honestly wanted. WrestleMania this year definitely surpassed my expectations. I'm not going to say it's one of the greatest of all time, because let's be honest, it's not. But it honestly delivered some very, very great moments that I will remember years from now.
I think what it was for me is that it might not have been the greatest WrestleMania, but it was cathartic. It was normal. It felt good. It was really cool to see. There was spectacular, and there was so much happening around. Like, there was spectacle and so much happening, right? Yeah. But like you said, lots of memorable moments, lots of great performances. I want to hear your thoughts about your favorite match of the weekend.
Okay, my favorite match of the weekend is definitely the main event of Night 2, the triple threat match for the Universal title. I know that the SmackDown women's match, like, that just was amazing, and I'm not taking anything away from that. That match was incredible. It's right there with that triple threat match. But just the creativity that those guys had in that triple threat, it just hit so many different beats. There were so many different sections of the match that just it told a different story as it went on and on. And I just love a good triple threat, you know. And honestly, I went back and I watched it again 2 days ago, just so I could really get another look at it. I didn't want to be in the moment when I was watching it like I was on Sunday. And man, it was even better the second time around.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, you know, how many triple threat matches have main evented WrestleMania? It's the one from 2004 with He Who Shall Not Be Named, Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
And then WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, WrestleMania 30. And, you know, compared to those two, I thought this match was better. I just did. I don't think it's a better moment than the WrestleMania 30. Obviously, Daniel Bryan winning that is one of the three greatest moments in WrestleMania history. But as a match itself, I thought this one far surpasses those two.
I am still of the opinion that I tweeted right before or at the beginning of the night, I said that it's going to be the best triple threat match in WWE history. I was like, I have that much faith that it's going to be the best. I still put the Rollins-Lesnar-Cena
That's the one, Rumble, the first one that came to my mind.
The match from WrestleMania 20 with He Who Shall Not Be Named, Michaels and Triple H, was my favorite WrestleMania match for a while.
Like, it's an excellent match. And the rematch.
It was my favorite WrestleMania match for a while.
And the rematch is amazing.
It was amazing. It has been surpassed by, probably because of the moment, Kofi versus Daniel Bryan at 35.
That's fair.
And I think this triple threat match, like you're right, I think this is a better match. I think that it rubs people the wrong way. I think the way that it ended, I think, was upsetting to some people. But like,
I loved it.
Upsetting. That was the point.
Here's the thing. I understand you wanting Daniel Bryan to have that final moment. You know, that it could be his final moment as the true, you know, big baby face. This is the guy. Because it kind of feels like the sun is setting on the Daniel Bryan movement thing, doesn't it? Like, not that he's washed, but it's 7 years removed from 30. You know, how much juice does something like that really have to fire him through the main event scene? And, you know, it's not like he's getting any younger. You know, he's only 2 years removed or something like that from retirement. So it's one of those things where maybe it's not Daniel Bryan as the main event isn't really the thing anymore. You know, and Edge, I love the story of Edge coming back, winning a title, you know, just completing the full comeback story. You don't do that against this Roman Reigns.
No, and like, I love that Edge was the tweener. I love that Edge was really fitting that role right on the edge. Because if you think about it, Edge being a heel seemed impossible with his comeback. Like, we were all just thrilled that he came back. And the way that they made it so he fit perfectly in the middle between Bryan and Reigns was excellent. But, you know, it's an amazing thing. I want to talk, of course, about Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Just the importance of it. And people were like, wow, it's a moment. I'm like, no, it's an amazing match. It was good. It was very, very good.
It's multiple amazing moments. Like, just before the match even starts, when the crowd is on their feet and they're giving them the applause, they're giving them their cheers, and the camera goes and looks at Bianca, and she is in tears pretty much, just really, really struggling. And it turns to Sasha, and she's like, tearing up a bit to the point where she has to like look away so she doesn't start bawling her eyes out.
And there's a clip of Sasha at ringside after the match selling. She's not really selling. Yeah. And she's smiling because she sees the moment for Bianca. I want to also give a shout out because we dunk on him all the time. Michael Cole saying on broadcast, two black women are main eventing WrestleMania. Like, I saw so many tweets from black people saying, like, that mattered. That the fact that he fucking said it mattered so much.
It's a simple thing, and I understand the argument that, you know, people could have about not wanting to make it about race. It's a moment for women in general. But and man, it is. Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck
I
up
agree
and let
with
them
you,
have it.
But shut up. Yeah.
Like, just let them have it. This is important, man. It really is. And, you know, it's one of those things where representation does matter, you know?
It does matter like, a lot.
I can't tell you how like, the reason why Eddie Guerrero is still my number one guy more than anything is because, yeah, he's Mexican and I'm Dominican, but just to be able to see a Latino with a WWE championship, that fucking mattered to me as a little kid.
Let's talk like, about Hispanic representation, too. Bad Bunny.
Oh, my that God.
Is where does Bad Bunny fit on all-time celebrity performances?
Number one. I'm sorry. Like, I know it's an overreaction. That is the best celebrity performance I have ever seen.
Give me
Bad
Bunny versus Pat McAfee now. Like, give it to me. They can do a real match. They could do it. I swear to God.
Yeah, and it's like we were saying, you know, that he was down in Florida for 3-4 months, whatever it was. Like, he was there full-time at the performance center, really working on it.
Shout out to Drew Gulak and Adam Pearce, because they're the ones who trained him.
Yeah, and they did an excellent job. I mean, the motherfucker busted out a Canadian destroyer.
So my most audible reactions the entire two nights. The times when Reigns looked like he was actually going to kill Edge and Daniel Bryan, and then he concerted them and actually tried to commit murder. That was cool.
I audibly gasped when the first concerto, the Edge to Daniel Bryan one, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Bianca's win. Obviously an audible reaction.
Yeah.
And then a fucking Canadian destroyer. Are you kidding me? I leapt out of my chair being like, that man did not just do that.
Dude, I was so fucking hyped. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Bad Bunny. I think a lot of his music is relatively repetitive. I did like his most recent album, the one that has the Booker T song in it.
Yeah.
And hell, he announced a concert, and, you know, I think tickets went on sale today or something like that. And it's super fucking expensive. So I would not be attending. No. But hey, you know, it's important with this guy because, shit, man, he is the biggest star in the Latin American community right now. It's not even close. He's the biggest music artist in the entire, not only genre of reggaeton and just Latin pop and all that stuff, but honestly, he might be the biggest Hispanic celebrity right now. And he kind of came out of nowhere. Like, 4 years ago, he was a nobody. Now he's the biggest star in the world as far as Hispanics go. It's insane. And he, not only him just appearing for WWE being a big deal, because this is a guy, like, I really can't state enough how important it is, like, how big this guy is. Like, yeah, whatever, you probably never heard of him if you live in America or
so
England
many people
are
tweeting about, like, oh, I don't even know who Bad Bunny is. It's like, relax.
That's,
it's not all about
fine.
You.
That's fine. You know how many fucking Hispanic people don't even know who the Beatles are? A lot of people, and that's okay. But like, this guy is massive. He just is. He's one of the biggest artists in the entire world. He's an international pop star, and for him to just appear, make an appearance period for WWE is one thing. For him to go out there at WrestleMania and have a match, in a damn fucking good one, that could get people invested in not just his performance, but just wrestling in general, because I thought it was a fucking amazing match. Just as a tag match in general.
If you told me Bad Bunny wasn't a celebrity, I was like, I would say this is a good match.
Yeah, Miz and Morrison were excellent in that match.
Props
as the
to
heels.
Them too.
Yeah. Like, Damian Priest did a great job as the big man who was going to come in and get his shine later on in the match. He did a great job in that role. And fucking Bad Bunny, man, he was selling his ass off. He hit the moves he needed to. And honestly, there wasn't really any point of the match with him where I felt like, oh, he's a bit lost, or, oh, you could see the inexperience here, stuff like that.
I will say his first, I think it's like his first two punches are absolute potatoes.
I couldn't do any better.
No,
that's
me neither.
That's what I was saying.
I saw the first couple punches. Like, he is hitting Miz, and luckily Miz is a professional.
Fucking Shane McMahon had a match. All right,
Shane McMahon fell off a steel cage. Whatever. Let's wrap up our talking about WrestleMania, and let's move on. Well, I guess move back in time to the 2000 Royal Rumble. We're at Madison Square Garden, and remember, this is the Rumble where Austin is out injured. There's no Austin, so
there's
if you're
no
expecting
Austin,
listen to our talk about the 2001 Royal Rumble. And you will be thrilled.
Yeah, there's no Austin in this. Kurt Angle is not in this match. I don't
Triple
know
H
why.
Defended the WWF Championship in a street fight against Cactus Jack before this.
One of the best title matches in WWE history.
One of the best matches. And so they're both not in this match either. The other matches that were on the card, I want to run through them quickly. We're not going to talk about them. Taz defeated Kurt Angle, I believe, in his debut?
Yeah, that is his debut.
Yeah, his debut, yeah. The Hardys defeated the Dudleys in a tag team table match, the first ever tag team table
match. We've covered that on this podcast, people.
Yes, we have. Jericho defeated China and Hardcore Holly in a triple threat to become the undisputed Intercontinental Champion. Very cool. Because he's been feuding with China, and we'll get to that. The New Age Outlaws defeated the Acolytes for the tag team titles. And then, of course, the Triple H Cactus Jack match, like I mentioned.
One of the best title matches in WWE history. Again, I just want to reiterate that. Because it's so freaking good.
It is so good. We're going to get into all of the facts about the 2000 Royal Rumble. But first, we're going to take this quick commercial break. Back from the break, do we dive right in to the first couple entries?
Oh, we have to. I mean, it starts off with two...
With the real deal now. Head shake.
And then the second person in is arguably the best person that possibly could have been in for the set number two spot. It's Grandmaster Sexay.
So D'Lo Brown is number one. And as you said, Grandmaster Sexay is now at number two. Obviously, JR and King are on commentary. And King is Brian Christopher's real dad.
Right. Also, it's back-to-back weeks with Grandmaster Sexay on the podcast.
We fucking love to see. Well, not back-to-back. We had Beth Phoenix in between.
All right, Beth. Two out of 3 weeks.
Two out of three Sexays. My favorite is that as D'Lo is in the ring, they're like, oh, who's going to be number two? Lawler says, let's see what schmuck this is. And then his own son appears. And I
and then they zoom in on
funny.
His face.
Yeah, they zoom in on Lawler's face. And even JR's like, oh, you know. Must get it from his daddy.
I love Grandmaster Sexay. Nothing makes me happier than the whole Brian Christopher, Scotty Too Hotty thing. I loved everything about that gimmick, and they absolutely hit it out the park every single time they were on TV.
Too cool are the original Shufflers. Remember when shuffling was big?
Every day I'm shuffling.
Because that's a lot of his dance moves are shuffles. Also, I
with
don't
the
understand.
Shovel.
Yeah, with well, he's digging. Yeah. I don't understand why all of Grandma Sexay's chains keep falling off as he's like striking with D'Lo. They're not like coming off over his head. They're just falling off of his neck. He has like three or four chains just fall off of his neck.
Okay. Admittedly, what? I don't think this is like real jewelry. So
are you telling me the wrestling's fake? Is that what you're telling me right
yes,
now?
Yes, I'm telling you that wrestling is not entirely real. And I can tell you right now, none of those chains are.
Yeah, those are not real. I also don't understand why he makes this noise, but the Grandmaster Sexay laugh is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. It's like a cat. He sounds like one of the hyenas from Lion King. Oh. He's just this like weird high-pitched cackle, and he does it all the time.
Yes.
Like, why?
That's a great reference. I can't replicate. That's a great comparison.
I can't replicate it, so I'm not going to try.
Yeah, I can't either, so we're not even going to bother.
Speaking of weird shit, you ready for number three? It's Mosh, and he's got giant cone titties.
What the fuck is that, dude? Why does he have giant furry cone titties?
I assume it's a reference to Madonna and like some of the shit that
she did.
I
don't even know.
But like, I don't know what Madonna was doing in the year 2000 that Mosh needed to
Madonna
reference
Madonna. Madonna was old in 2000, wasn't she?
Probably.
How old's Madonna?
Great question.
Madonna's one of these people that, like, you could tell me Madonna's 40, you could tell me Madonna's 50 or 60 or 70, I'll believe you.
I'm going to say that Madonna is 63, and let's Google it right now. She is 62 years old and will turn 63 in August.
You still lose by Price is Right rules.
Also, for some reason, the first news story about it is that she's buying The Weeknd's home.
Oh, good for her.
I'd like to see the title signing for that.
One of my favorite Twitter accounts is the one that is just Daniel Craig from when he was hosting SNL just saying, Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
It's so good. Every Friday, I get hyped when I see it on my timeline. I'm like, yeah, it is The Weeknd.
I like that one on Fridays, and on Saturdays, I like the guy from Toy Story 2 going, I have to drive all the way to work on a Saturday. And the father from Dexter's Laboratory going, Saturdays are for dads.
So not only does Mosh have on the giant cone titties, he's also got on rainbow tights and a skirt. A fashion icon.
Also, way too many like see-through tank tops. Oh, in I wrote that for
the next guy who comes in also has a mesh shirt on. We'll get to that in a second. But
way too many.
The mesh budget for WWF was through the fucking roof.
Dude, like, I can't even tell you the last time I saw a mesh shirt. You would think they'd be pretty big in 2021, but they're not.
Why would mesh shirts be big in 2021?
I don't know. People wear weird ass shit nowadays, dude.
That's true. All the people who are fancy and have their fancy streetwear.
Like, I'm telling you right now, if I had a six pack, dude, mesh shirt or a crop top.
Mesh shirts
only.
And crop tops all That's of it. The goddamn time.
If I look like Finn Balor, you'd be lucky if you see me with a shirt.
Yeah, you'd be exclusively filming these things from waist up. So we get our first Kai and Tai run-in. This is going to be a running theme, and it leads to one of the best moments. But this isn't that one. This is Kai and Tai, Funaki, and Takamichi Noku coming in. Funaki gets tossed out by D'Lo. Taka gets crotched and then tossed by Grandmaster Sexay. They're not actually in the match.
No, they're not in this match at all. At no point in this entire thing are they in the match.
No, they never are entrance. They just run in because they just want to be part of it, and they get tossed out.
They feel like it.
Number four is Christian.
Christian.
I literally had written there's so much mesh in this match. So I'm glad you pointed it out too.
Oh, so shout out to Christian Cage for, you know, we talked about Taz earlier on AEW last night. He turned down Team Taz.
He did turn down Team Taz. What is Christian's like role/ceiling in AEW? What do you see for Christian Cage?
I don't think he'll ever be a world champion. I could see him being TNT champion at some point.
I could see him having a good feud for the world title, like a one-off, like a one build, you know?
Yeah, and I think eventually we'll get a match between him and Kenny Omega before Omega's title run is over. But yeah, I think that's all you'll get. You'll get like a one-off storyline where he's in the main event picture, but I think he's more going to be used to really not only just help establish other guys, but I would say he'll be like a slightly more protected version of Jericho, but more of a babyface.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
Whereas Jericho at first was never losing, and then obviously lost the title, and ever since then he's been losing. So
yeah,
I think he'll be more of a little slightly more protected Jericho. He'll probably go back and forth between heel and babyface. Nothing is better than whiny Christian Cage from TNA. It was amazing, and I loved it. And honestly, just remembering that makes me want him to be the world champion, but he should not be. So don't let him
match.
Be.
Number five, business is about to pick up because it's the Thong Man. It's Rikishi.
You thong wearing fatty.
By the end of this year, Rikishi will fall off of the Hell in a Cell at Armageddon and be a giant heel for running over and trying to murder Steve Austin. Remember that?
But right now, he's arguably the biggest babyface in the universe.
He is over as fuck right here. And Rikishi tosses out Mosh. He launches Christian. Like, just fucking sails Christian over the ropes.
Yeah.
And then he no-sells a leg drop from D'Lo Brown and tosses out D'Lo. So we got Rikishi and Grandmaster Sexay. And Sexay is, like, bargaining with him. Like, hey, man, no,
he's, like,
we're
terrified.
Cool. And
he's
he daps
terrified.
Him up. It's so funny. And then we get the real first big moment of this match. Number six, Scotty Too Hotty. Too cool's all here. And Scotty came out with the yellow sunglasses, which, like, I guess calm Rikishi. In a way.
Yeah, it's like the Hulk when you just like touch his hand and you say, hey, big guy, sun's getting low.
Yeah, it's that for Rikishi, except it's yellow sunglasses and makes him dance. So we get the full Too Cool dance break. Like, the lights go down and everything, and MSG
and I popped.
Is unglued. MSG
I popped
is so fucking...
Something serious.
It.
I popped something serious here because this was amazing. I loved every second of it. There's nothing cool. Again, I gave Too Cool its praise earlier. There was nothing more fantastic than seeing this, because it's the one thing I will always say about wrestling is it's supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to have something for everyone. Like, I understand I'm a big work rate guy. As you know, I love my work rate. I love good wrestling matches. I love all that stuff. but I didn't become a wrestling fan because Eddie Guerrero was having great matches. I started liking wrestling because Eddie Guerrero was larger than fucking life when it came to his charisma, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's nice to have guys like Austin in the main event who can cut badass promos and throw fists and have really fun and great matches. But I'll be damned if I don't want to see the fat thong wearing fatty shake his ass a little bit.
It's a good break. So they have the dance break, and then, of course, double clothesline by Rikishi. He clotheslines his boys and tosses them both out. And then they all
hits the shoulder shrug.
Yeah, hits like, sorry, man, everybody for themselves. We should have known he was going to be a murderous heel. By this time, he has already murdered Steve Austin, or at least attempted to.
Yeah, he's already been attempted murder. He's gone away with it.
But he's cool with Too Cool. They dab him up. It's good. So he's in the ring all by himself. And number seven, Steve Blackman, the episode we were robbed of by the Peacock transition.
Maybe you. I finished those robbed. Matches. Because robbed. Obviously I was going to watch Steve Blackman. And I loved every second of this because he was only in the ring for about 10 of them. He comes in, he does all his karate shtick, he gets all the Steve Blackman highlights in. But he lasts exactly 44 seconds before Rikishi throws his ass out of the ring.
Rikishi is maybe the only fun dancing big guy that has worked out effectively because he's fun and has a goofy time.
There's like two.
But also,
him and Funkasaurus.
But I don't think Brodus Clay worked out that well. Not the way they wanted it to.
But like you made it seem like there was like an abundance of fat big dancing guys.
Big
There's
dancers.
Two.
Well, they made Great Khali dance. Remember that? Well,
he's not
a
fat.
No, it just meant big. Just big guys. They like to make big guys all of a sudden be goofy. Like Kozlov.
Well, Kozlov made the little hat work, and I appreciate him for that.
Yeah. Also, one of note, JR says Rikishi hilariously.
Rikishi. It's like,
Rikishi.
Bro, there's an I.
Yeah. But no, not according to JR. Number eight. Oh, baby, it's happening.
Podcast favorite.
I would say first ballot crossbody of work Hall of Famer, and
he's going in by himself.
It's Mabel. I mean, he's called Viscera here, but it's Mabel.
No,
and
it's Mabel. It will always be
Mabel.
Mabel
podcast.
Talk about a dancing fatty. This guy was doing it before it was popular.
Big Daddy V. We get a gigantic belly to gigantic belly suplex by Viscera. I loved it. He's got a big leather jacket on that looks like a bedazzled trash bag.
Bro, how many cows do you think had to be sacrificed for that?
Too many. Too many.
Like, that's more than one, for sure.
Yes. That is at least a couple of cows.
That's a lot of leather.
So there's a lot of meat in this match, and they're just bumping into each other. It's great. Quality
they bump into
content.
Each other for exactly a minute and 25 seconds. I have the Wikipedia popped up here. That's how I know the times.
So there's a bunch of super kicks. Rikishi starts just spamming super kick like he's the third Young Buck. And
super kick party!
Yeah, Rikishi's all about the super kick party. He bumps into Viscera, knocks him out. Rikishi's on fire. He has seven eliminations. Rikishi. Yeah.
Rikishi, we're about like 7 minutes into the match. Is
seven eliminations, and then number nine, it all comes to a screeching halt because of the Big Boss Man
from Cobb County, Georgia.
He gets a visceral reaction from MSG. They do not like him,
and they shouldn't. Fucking fuck Big Boss Man. Like, rest in peace, Ray Taylor. But like,
I was looking, and I was like, wait a second, the fans hate him. Has he fed Al Snow his own dog yet? Yes, he has.
Yes, he has. That was last year. And he also did the stuff with the Big Show already, I'm pretty sure.
That's reason enough to, be booed. I mean, last year he got attempted murdered by The Brood and The Undertaker. Remember
as
that?
He should have been.
When there was a fucking hanging at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania. That won't be in the Peacock era.
Yeah, Peacock has been editing things out. Do you edit that out of the end of the match? When,
I would.
Three blonde vampires come from the ceiling to try to murder a man.
Although I'd leave it in just so we could show how much of a vicious heel Edge was.
Number 10.
Oh, so he doesn't get in the ring. It's very important to note that Boss Man does not get in the ring.
Big Boss Man. That's why I said everything screeches to a halt. Big Boss Man doesn't even get in the ring. He's just like, no, we're cool. He looks like the Shield's uncle. I want to throw that out there, too.
Okay, you say the Shield's uncle. The only one he could possibly look like is Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
So, Ray Taylor, the boss man, the old cop from Cobb County, Georgia, is Dean Ambrose, John Moxley's uncle.
Moved up to Cincinnati.
His brother moved up to Cincinnati. Yeah, Adam's
brother moved up to Cincy. Yeah. Number 10, we're a third of the way through, and it's Test. Test jumps Big Boss Man in the entryway and then gets tossed into the entry or the ring post by Boss Man. And that's where I noticed one of the most specific measured compliments of a sign I've ever seen. And it is a sign right behind him as it happens. And he just says, "Nice teeth, Test." What?
He's got nice teeth.
Maybe he's got nice teeth. I don't know.
Also, that sequence right there is like indicative of Test's career for the last like year, if you think about it, because it's basically just been Test like getting shat on after immediately starting off hot. So he comes in, he starts off hot, he gets the upper hand, he starts beating on Boss Man, and then it just turns on him and he eats the fucking post.
Yeah,
you know, he comes in, he's a good looking big man, he's really starting to get some shine. Him and Stephanie McMahon are dating, they're engaged to be married right at the wedding. Oh, would you look at that, my fiance was drugged and now married to Triple H. And oh,
is that the Peacock episode?
I've now lost every match subsequent to this, and yeah, I'm a nobody now.
I will say the ladies did go wild when Test removed his shirt. They were a big fan.
Hey, he's no Finn Balor, but damn.
But
man's got some good looks.
Also, from what I can tell from Google, like, his teeth are fine. They're not noteworthy by any stretch of the imagination.
Compared to New Yorkers.
Good. Let's shit on the biggest city in America. Let's go for it.
I'm from Boston, damn it. This is what we do.
That's true. You have to. Number 11 is now WWE Hall of Famer, the British Bulldog.
In jeans.
Yeah, he's working in those workman jeans.
Yeah, I made sure to add that to my notes. Bulldog in jeans.
Yeah, Gene Bulldog.
Yeah, Gene Bulldog. He also, I just want to talk about the fact that the next couple of people that are in after the final Rikishi elimination, they're in for a very long time.
Yeah, these are the guys who are the Iron Men. These guys right here. Your British Bulldog, especially your Big Boss Man, he's in for a long time.
Yeah, 22 minutes 47 seconds.
Good for Test.
Test is in for just over 26. Bulldog's in for 15. And our next person,
Gangrel, aka the Vampire Warrior.
Vampire Warrior is in for 23 minutes. If I had told you to guess how long Gangrel is in this match,
I would have said like 8.
Yeah, I know. The talk about the person that is just in the shadows the entire time.
The whole time. But, like, good. That's what vampires are supposed to do. Avoid the light. He comes out. He still has his chalice of blood because, you know, you got to live the gimmick. And does the whole spit the blood everywhere. Puts his sunglasses in the chalice of blood. And then goes in the ring. I was like,
he's got to clean them off, man.
That's so weird. Weird vampire shit. Also, I like his blouse. It's very nice. He looks like a
very
pirate.
Puffy.
We get Kai and Tai round two, and this is the one. This is the fucking time, people. Funaki and Taka are back in. Test, I will say, launches Funaki. Funaki goes far, which is
not hard to
Funaki
do.
Is a small guy. You want to talk about Taka?
I'll let you. You can have Taka.
Gangrel and Boss Man toss out Taka Michinoku together. And when they do, he does a full front flip. And he does not land, you know, on his shoulder or with his hands out. His arms are too high, and he lands in a way that snaps his head onto the ground.
Brother did a 450 splash.
He did it teeth first. And it's so aggressive of an elimination that we watch it 7 more times throughout the rest
of the match. Yeah, they replay it at least 3 more times.
The King just keeps calling for it. He's like, do we got that clip of Taka? I want to see Taka get tossed out.
Like, I'm not even kidding. At least 3 times. Like, just for off the top of my head, I can remember 3 different occasions where they replay it.
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
He did a clean 450, though. I'll give him that.
True. Number 13 is WrestleMania main eventer Edge. He looks like a baby here.
And he gets a huge pop.
Oh, the people loved Edge.
The people were into Edge to the point where he came out and he was smiling. Edge could not wipe the smile off of his face here.
And he starts fighting Gangrel, which made me sad because you're vampire, bro. Stop it.
Bro, this is 21 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's 21 years ago. And he retired for 9 of those. And yep. Buddy was in the main event of WrestleMania this past week.
It's crazy. It's actually crazy. Speaking of actual crazy, number 14 is Bob Backlund. And in the heart of the Attitude Era, Bob Backlund looks like the biggest nerd in the world. He looks like he's wrestling in swim trunks.
Bob Backlund would have been so perfect in the Attitude Era, though. Crazy Bob would have done so much good business.
Just hitting people with chicken wings, and he would, you know, he should have been right to censor. I feel like he would have done a good job there.
Dude, he should have been in everything. Put him in a main event with Stone Cold. Fuck it. I don't even care.
Put him in DX.
Put him in DX. Put him in the NWO, too. Screw it. Why not? But, dude, remember a couple years ago when Bob Backlund was, like, Darren Young's coach?
Make Darren Young great again. And we all said, when was Darren Young great?
Yeah, it's like, what, when he was the person that no one cared about in the primetime players?
Oh, I like the primetime players. I thought
yes, but that was the Titus O'Neil group, not the Darren Young group.
That's true. Also, while Backlund's in there, this is when everyone decides to gang up and eliminate Rikishi, so he gets tossed. He had a great run. It took as many people in the match to eliminate him as he had eliminations. It took like 7 people to toss him out.
16 and a half minutes for Rikishi.
What a run. What an absolute run. Also, speaking of running, at this time, in 2000, Bob Backlund is running for a seat in Congress in Connecticut. He loses.
As he fucking should, to be fair. I would be terrified.
What is he going to do, chicken wing somebody on the floor? I'd like to see that.
Like, hey, I know this is hypocritical because I'm someone that's like, if The Rock is on the ballot, I'm voting for The Rock because I feel like he can just do every... He just feels like one of those people that can just do everything right. But... I'm sorry, I don't think a wrestler should be a congressman.
Nope.
We saw how that worked out for Arnold in California.
Jesse Ventura as governor of Minnesota.
I don't know much about what Jesse did for Minnesota. I know that Jesse Ventura is like a hardcore Republican guy. And
Minnesotans, tell us how he was. Because we don't know.
Minnesotans.
We're children. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was baby.
Speaking of hardcore Republicans, number 15 is Chris Jericho. The segues today are on fire. They are on fuego.
You know, it's ironic that his theme song is Break the Walls Down, because I'm pretty sure he wants to build the walls up.
Oh, yeah, except for the one around the Capitol where his wife went. Now, newly undisputed Intercontinental Champion Jericho, and he dropkicks out Bob Backlund, so Backlund can go back to the campaign trail. Very nice of Jericho. He's always hated legends, you know, WrestleMania against Piper and Snuka and Steamboat, and now here he is dropkicking out Bob Backlund. No respect for these legends, which now Jericho is older than all of them.
Yes, quite literally older than all of them. And my next God. We get another legend. One that was gone
king.
Way too soon. One
short
gone way
king
too soon.
Trademarked. This is Crash Holly, one of the strongest pound-for-pound wrestlers of all time. One of the biggest wrestlers you ever seen.
Super heavyweight. Engineer of the super heavyweights.
Yes, what a guy. Crash Holly's here. We're going to take our last break before we get into the second half of the match. We'll be right back after this quick break. Back from the break, like we said, Crash Holly's just in. Jericho's still in. We still got lots of guys like Big Boss Man. Test is in there. Lots of guys in there. Number 17, China, who had just lost the triple threat to Jericho earlier in the night to lose the IC Championship because they were co-IC champions, so she is no longer IC champion with him. And second straight year for China in the Rumble. Last year she had come out number 30.
Yeah, and she looked amazing in this. Like, honestly, she looked great.
She has got a short amount of time in the Rumble, but she makes the most of it.
38 seconds, and honestly, looking at that number, I'm kind of surprised. I feel like she was in there a little longer than that, but whatever. Yeah. But yeah, her and Jericho almost immediately start going at it, and she's out. She gets out on the apron because Jericho, what did he do, drop kick her out? Or whatever. He threw her over the rope. She's on the apron. Yeah. She ends up grabbing Jericho, suplexes Chris Jericho out of the ring and eliminates him.
Very
and
impressive.
Immediately is pushed off the apron by Big Boss Man.
Yeah, because Bossman is a heel. This is what heels do.
We hate Bossman.
I want to point out, at this point, we're halfway through. We're a little over halfway through in terms of people. Pretty weak first half in terms of star power. Like, Edge and Christian obviously will be bigger stars soon. Jericho is IC title level star and, like, pretty good.
Bulldog is well beyond his main event
scene. Bulldog well beyond his prime. Like, the big stars here are probably Jericho and Rikishi.
Bob Backlund was in this match. That guy held the title for, like, 4 years, okay?
Go away. I would say, like, a pretty weak, like, a very mid-card heavy first half of the Rumble.
Very mid-card heavy.
And guess what? It continues. It keeps
because
going.
Next, number 18, Farouk!
Former world champion Ron Simmons, a.k.a. Farouk, who doesn't even get into the ring before the Mean Street Posse attack.
This is a hate crime. I don't care. This is a hate crime in all capacities. The Mean Street Posses are a bunch of polo-wearing scumbag white dudes, and they just attack Black King.
The Mean Street Posse, which is the Duke Lacrosse team as a wrestling gimmick, they're here, and they jump Farouk, and then Bossman tosses Farouk right away. And it's so frustrating.
Evan is in all-time form right now.
Oh, it's feeling good. So Farouk's tossed out right away. Number
18 seconds Farouk was in this match.
That's it. Can't get more time for Ron Simmons. You hate to see it. Number 19, Road Doggy Dog. You didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
But not me.
He gets low-blowed by Test right away, which I thought was very funny. Test is like, oh, you're in the match? Testicles!
Oh, DX guy, yeah. You want to take my wife from me? No.
Yeah, you're associated with Triple H, so therefore, I hate you. Not a lot of action after Road Dogg gets in, so we go right to number 20. The man who, according to Mick Foley, has never drawn a dime in his life. It's Al Snow.
I love Al Snow, first off.
I do, too. I love Al Snow.
And he is right, though.
I used to have an Al Snow wrestling figure, and I remember it was right when I got into ECW with my brother, and it was one of the ones that like was like rubber. Like, it wasn't actually, like, the hard plastic. And in a death match, Al Snow lost his nose to Gold Dust. he scraped off his nose, and I was like, oh, no! Al Snow's lost a nose! And my brother was like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, Gold Dust beat Al Snow for the hardcore title, and Al Snow lost part of his face. My brother was like, cool! This child needs to be looked at immediately.
So Al Snow still has one of my favorite, and not one of, he has my favorite most meaningless match of all time, which is just a regular Raw match from, I think it was 99 with Val Venus. It's awesome. It lasts like 6 minutes. It might honestly be on YouTube. I don't know. It used to be. It might stay. It's like 6-7 minutes. It's really fucking good. And it has
when people just
no meaning
and have
whatsoever.
Quality matches like that. That's excellent.
It has no meaning whatsoever. It's just a complete, just random throwaway match on a Raw.
So he's in. He looks so weird because he doesn't have his actual like job squad attire. He's just in a plain black singlet and doesn't have head. It's very weird. It's very strange.
Also, speaking of Val Venus. Oh, wait. No, wait. We got
to speak about Val Venus. He's number 21. He's out next.
Yeah. And right before that, though, Bulldog gets eliminated by Road Dogg.
Yeah, it's some dog-on-dog crime.
It's like the most throwaway elimination ever.
Yeah, it just
for someone
happens.
Who has some sort of profile of a name.
Val Venus is out. Like I said, the mid-card rumble just continues. And then we get Funaki round three. Notice how I didn't say Kai and Tai round three, because Taka Michinoku is fucking dead. His face is busted open.
Buddy's on a surgery table right now getting his teeth fixed.
Yeah, getting his giblets rearranged. So Funaki comes back in. He gets tossed out by Bossman. Number 22 is the hairiest person I've ever seen in my life. It's Albert. He's the hairiest man I've ever fucking seen.
Yes.
He looks like he's wearing like a big Irish sweater.
He is what Giant Gonzalez wanted to be.
Yeah, Giant Gonzalez could never. Also, while this is happening, Edge gets tossed out by Al Snow and Val Venus, which is a very strange combination.
Yeah, we are sad.
Yeah. Also, Albert fights Test, and you hate to see TNA fighting like this, but they're not TNA yet. They're TNA in about 2 months' time.
Yeah, so when Trish Stratus shows up, it is looking mighty great.
I love the setup to make you say Trish Stratus. Love it.
Fuck off.
Love it. It's a running gag on this podcast.
I would never be able to say her name correctly.
Stratus. You sound like fucking Sean Connery every time you do.
Trish Stratus. I can't. I physically cannot do it right. I don't know. I can't.
Number 23 is Hardcore Holly, who lost in Triple Threat earlier. That's my only note about Hardcore Holly. He's in there too. Good for Hardcore.
Hey, you leave Hardcore alone. He lasts 11 minutes.
Good for Sparkplug Bob Holly.
Wow.
Number 24. It's no longer the mid-card rumble because it is The Rock. The Rock has arrived.
But The Rock is cooking. Go listen to our Rock three-parter.
Yeah, go do that. It's very good. It's the last three-parter we've done. King has been calling it for a while. He kept saying, The Rock's going to show up. The Rock's going to show up. The Rock's going to show up. And it kept being guys like Val Venus and Hardcore Holly. Finally, The Rock does show up, and he decides it's only time to toss out one person. I thought he was going to go on a huge run, but he literally only tosses out Big Boss Man.
Yeah, it's just Big Boss Man. And he immediately gets jumped and gets rocked in the corner for like 5 minutes.
And then gets continued to be beaten on by number 25, which is Billy Gunn. We got both Outlaws out here. I'm an ass man. This is before Rock ruins Billy Gunn's singles career.
So in hindsight, you know, it makes sense that he would want to go after The Rock.
Yeah. No, it hasn't happened. Wait, has it happened?
Yeah,
yet?
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure when it happened, he was probably thinking, yeah, it's probably a good thing I got those licks in at the rope.
Yeah, while I still could. Rock tosses out Crash Holly after DDT. Big heel move eliminating Short King Crash Holly. And number 26 is the biggest of shows. That's right.
And it's a big show.
It's his first ever Rumble appearance because he debuted in February 99 at St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And he's got a little ponytail.
He's looking very svelte, too.
For what we see at a big show later in life, yeah, he's looking very like chest heavy. Big barrel chest on that guy.
Yeah, big dude looking real nice. He looks like he can run, you know? There are many points in Big Show's career where I felt like he struggled to just walk.
But he walked so this one could run. Big Show eliminates Test and Gangrel right away. And then Al Snow eats a headbutt from Big Show, and it's my favorite sell of the whole match. Al Snow eats a headbutt and falls onto his neck and just balances with his whole body in the air for a long time. He's just fully vertical with his feet up in the air. Like, you ever like lie in your bed as a kid and you just randomly stick your legs up in the air like a weirdo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was just sitting there like kids do, and then he just kind of toppled over like a giant redwood.
Something I strangely do a lot. So my bed is up against my wall. Like, you can see the wall here.
I mean, the people can't see it. But
you can see it.
You!
So I'll like sometimes just randomly like put my legs up on the wall.
Yeah. Sometimes it's comfy. It's like sometimes I'm just possessed by the idea of like, you need to lie on the floor right now. Just
especially when it's like hot. The wall's always cold. Yeah. Why are walls always cold, by the way? Why is that a thing?
We're asking the real questions on this podcast. Number 27, the lucky number, is Bradshaw, aka slightly bigger Ethan Hawke. And
is this before sunrise or before midnight, Ethan Hawke? Wait, which one are we doing here? Before sunset? Which one of the trilogy is this?
I'd say before sunset. This is like...
No, because before sunset's when he has the freaking short hair.
I'd say this is if Training Day went really different. If Training Day went where Denzel Washington was like, you want to be a corrupt cop? And Ethan Hawke was like, fuck yes. And then we would just get Bradshaw.
The fact that he was in one of the best romantic movies of all time and also Training Day, the versatility on that man.
The range on Ethan Hawke. Also, the Mean Street Posse are back. Sweater vests are having a moment. Bradshaw tosses them all out, and Farouk comes back out and just is ready to fuck them all up. But Bradshaw gets tossed out by the New Age Outlaws while distracted by the Mean Street Posse.
He lasts 7 seconds longer than Farouk.
Wow.
25 seconds total.
The Acolytes and the Posse, they brawl all the way back down the entryway. Number 28, one of three guys who could have actually won this Rumble. There's Big Show.
Gotta be Kane.
Rock, and there's Kane.
And only one of them was not Rumble in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it's Kane, unfortunately. good for Val Venus trying to challenge Kane as he enters, and then Kane just one hand tosses an actual human man out of the ring.
Yeah, it's like what I would do with my little cousin back in the day, you know, just like a stiff arm. He just kind of stiff arms him out of the ring.
And just, you go over here now. I liked it a lot. Good for Val Venus trying to
challenge. He comes out with Tori, who, wow, that was a storyline.
Yeah, remember when Kane fell in love? Oh, what a time.
And then gets his heart broken?
Not the time when he made Lita marry him. Not that time.
No, that was weird. Not that time. That was awkward.
And not Katie Vick either. Kane isn't really lucky in love, is he?
Katie Vick not going to make it to the Peacock era. I don't think so. I don't think Katie Vick will survive the Peacock
shot
era.
Shot in hell.
Let's not forget when he kissed AJ Lee.
Oh, yeah. God, Kane, what is with your history, man?
Kane. Is Kane... Are we coming to find out that Kane is a stick man?
Kane is a stud.
Kane is a fucking stick man. Him and Derek Jeter.
Number 29, the ultimate stick man. It's the Godfather. He's out there with his ladies.
He's got the whole train with him.
I love the airbrushed vest of this man.
This guy is amazing.
He's got four ladies with him. While this is all happening, Kane eliminates Albert.
Yeah.
Sorry, Albert.
We get more Kai and Tai.
We get Funaki round four. Which what is that in the Fast and the Furious? So it's
Fast Kai and Tai. Furious.
Oh right, so this would be Funaki, right? God, I hate the naming structure of Fast and the Furious. Get back on that. Anyways, whatever. Funaki comes in and gets tossed out in front of Godfather's friends. It's got to be embarrassing. Number 30, we already knew who number 30 was going to be, and it's X-Pac.
With his weird version of the DX song.
Like I said, the only people who are real viable winners of this match who are in it are Big Show, Kane, and Rock. You can make a case for Jericho, maybe, but like...
Hey, there was a moment where Jericho was supposed to be in the main event of WrestleMania that year.
Yeah,
but it's really in all the early posters and stuff.
Just those three who are the real like guys you could see winning this match, which is the opposite problem of like the last couple Rumbles we've had, where it's like it could legitimately be like five or six people.
Yeah, but let's just kind of be honest with ourselves. There was really only one option. As far as like you think about where the storylines were going and everything, there was just one
option. It was just going to be Rock. Yeah. So... we get some eliminations rather quickly. Big Show eliminates Hardcore Holly. He eliminates Godfather before he could even get his vest off. Disappointing. Al Snow gets tossed out by The Rock. And we have six remaining, and half of them are DX.
Yeah.
Kane, Big Show, Rock, and then the Outlaws and X-Pac. And then Billy Gunn, stupidly, eliminates Road Dogg. What is he doing? Yeah.
Bro, look at the people in the ring with you, and you're just going to turn on the one person that would help you? Come on now.
Game this out, man. And then, of course, while he's talking to Road Dogg after he eliminates him, he gets tossed out by Kane. So we have a final four, which is always a big thing. Who are going to be the final four in the Rumble? Kane, Big Show, Rock, and X-Pac.
What a weird assortment time of people.
Yeah.
Two of them are going to be in a tag team, and the other two are just going to argue about the finish of this match for the next couple of months.
Rank these four in terms of personal favorites. Obviously, Rock is one.
Yeah, Rock is one, and then Kane, Big Show, X-Pac.
We have the same four. Good to know. So the refs don't see the next elimination because Kane got brought under the bottom rope by the Outlaws to rough him up a little bit, while X-Pac gets absolutely launched by the Rock.
Fucking just launched.
Yeah, he goes far.
And it's not, and he was on, he let launch towards the hard camera, which isn't that open of an area either.
No.
Like, he was really close to the barricade.
He manages to land flat back bump on it, too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nuts.
He was like an inch away from the barricade.
Yeah. He almost landed on some people, some New Yorkers. So the refs don't see it because they were trying to break up the Kane Outlaws fight. The Outlaws eventually just leave without doing really anything to Kane. They just had to distract the ref then. Kane and Big Show are fighting in the ring, and we get a big red Enziguri. Good for Kane.
Which, hold on, wait a minute. If you really think about it, why the hell would they distract the refs? Because it just kind of makes you think, like, they thought X-Pac can't actually do this. So we kind of have to distract the refs so that when he gets eliminated, they don't see it.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, you don't trust the homie?
Don't trust the homie, not even a little bit. Kane slams Big Show, which I thought was really cool. And then we get the most surprising elimination of the whole thing.
X-Pac with a fucking heel kick takes out Kane.
Like, I guess Kane had lost his balance after doing such a big slam on Big Show, and Kane just gets crescent kicked by X-Pac out of the match.
How much longer before Torrey leaves him for X-Pac?
It's the feud going into WrestleMania that year, isn't it?
Like within the next couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's soon. Big Show gets a Bronco Buster and then just decides to just launch X-Pac.
Yeah, because small man versus big man, small man doesn't always win.
No. This is not 1-2-3 Kid versus Razor Ramon. This is X-Pac versus a giant human being. So we're down to Big Show versus Rock, which is where
it's
we
ironic.
All thought
it's
we
the
were
same
going.
Guy.
Yeah. We get a People's Elbow in the middle of the Rumble.
We get a Spine Buster.
We get the People's Elbow. It's great.
Big Show no sells it. We got a fucking choke slam.
Talk about the finish, because it is a botched Rumble finish.
Yeah, and if it wasn't botched, it would have been a really smart way of ending things. So Big Show puts Rock on his shoulder like he's about to do, I don't know, like power, like a running power slam.
Yeah, Braun Strowman slam. Essentially.
Yeah, Braun Strowman slam thing. Or Bulldog or whoever the fuck you want to say has that move. And he just keeps pointing to a different side of the ring as to where he wants to throw Rock out of. And I hate that part. But eventually he settles for the side that's facing the rampway. And he runs. He tries to lawn dart Rock out of the ring. Rock ends up grabbing the top rope. Holding on, skinning the cat, while the Big Show tumbles over and hits the outside. But wait, the Rock's feet hit the ground before the Big Show's.
Awkward. But luckily, the camera angle doesn't catch it. You don't see it, which is kind of nice. Because it allows them to be like, no, Rock actually did it. And then they actually turned it into a storyline, and that leads to our main event of WrestleMania 2000, which is the McMahon in every corner fatal four-way. So it wasn't just Rock versus Triple H, which is what it should have been.
I hated it.
It's what it should have been. So it ends up being Rock versus Triple H versus Big Show versus Mick Foley, which was fine, but it really should have just been Rock Triple H.
And what a payoff to a story of, you know, in the works for 2 years, basically. We covered their SummerSlam 98 match on this podcast. Like, it should have been those two. Those are the two young guys coming up at that time period who were really just not only just bursting through the doors of the main event scene, but taking it the whole way over. You know, they were really the becoming the guys.
You
know, Austin was gone, Michaels wasn't there anymore. Like,
and you
it
can
was
do
them.
All of the stuff that you do at the end of the WrestleMania 2000 match with just the two of them. It didn't need Mick or Linda or Shane or Big Show.
And this is pre-injury Triple H. What a fucking match that would have been if it was just one-on-one on the grandest stage of them all. But no.
From the one of the weirdest WrestleManias of them all?
Yeah, but no. Vince decided to muck it the fuck up.
Ah, Vince, mucking things up. That wraps up the 2000 Rumble. Javier, your thoughts on the Rumble?
I am never going to poo-poo a Royal Rumble match because I love them all, even the shit
They're
ones.
They're all
are.
Fun. Yes.
Yeah, even the shit ones still have their moments. But man, this is the definition of a mid-card Rumble.
Yeah, it's really full of mid-carders. You don't think it's going to be because you're like, 2000, there's so many good guys going on right now. You know, Kurt Angle, Eddie, you know, there's so many guys. And then there's like, no,
we don't
know,
have the Radicals yet.
Just these guys. Oh, yeah, we don't have the Radicals yet, but we're getting them next month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
couple weeks.
Nice. Very exciting. But, you know, instead it's like, oh, the big running themes are the Acolytes versus the Mean Street Posse and Funaki getting tossed out of the ring.
And we have a fight between a lot of guys. Also, is that a dance-off?
Yeah, and also the Big Boss Man gets to be the Iron Man, and so does Test.
We now have Rock.
And then Rock and Big Show are just like, all right, everybody out.
Okay, everybody wait, out Big pool. Show won the match. What is this?
What is this? I would say this is in the lower tier of Rumbles for me, even though it does speak to the depth of the mid and lower card that you can have a Rumble so full of just mid and lower mid card talents. And people were like, this is great.
And hey, honestly, cool. There's an Steve investment here. In each of those characters.
Yeah, people still love them.
Like
or
each,
hated them, whatever they were supposed to do. Single, people had a feeling about them.
Yeah, every single person that came in, whether a mid-card or lower-card guy, whatever, each of them had a character, and mm-hmm. each of them had some sort of investment put into them. Even Al Snow with the singlet, the job squad thing, the guy probably hadn't won a match in 18 years, but fucking hell, if I wasn't the biggest Al Snow guy, you know? Steve Blackman I talk about a lot. Steve Blackman was just a fucking jabron with a weird karate gimmick, but I'll be damned if I wasn't all in on the fucking guy.
Yeah, you're a big head cheese guy. You're pro head cheese.
I'm pro head cheese, 100% pro head cheese. I loved everything about those guys, and man,
but you're not pro cheeseheads because you're a Vikings fan.
No, fuck that. The worst, I would say, the person who was in this match who was probably the least relevant and or fuck, you know, who the fuck is this? Is Mosh, and he at least had the furry titties.
At least he's bringing something to the table. It's big cone titties.
Like, what the fuck is Ricochet bringing?
You know what? I got an idea. Ricochet, we've got this gear for you. It's gonna really set it off for you.
Jesus, I think Ricochet, it's furry titties, but also like fake dreadlocks or something, like green dreadlocks. Just give Ricochet the most outlandish outfit
imaginable.
Just make
him Prince Puma again. Just go with it. Whatever. In terms of the ranking of this Rumble, where it falls is actually pretty good in terms of where it, like the two Rumbles it's between. It's not nearly as bad as the 99 Rumble, but it's not nearly as good as the 01 Rumble. It's right between them, as it should be.
Yeah, I mean, look, the 99 Rumble is, I would say it's a bottom half Rumble, for sure.
The 99 Rumble is one of the, I'd say the bottom, like, six or seven Rumbles for me. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's, and that's understandable. It was not very good.
Yeah. It was one long angle.
Yeah, but man, this one, I would say it's about middle of the pack. Maybe top, I would say top half, but barely. Just because I was entertained, like this was an entertaining match. And yeah, I mentioned earlier, like there was a lot of guys who lasted 15, 20 plus minutes. I didn't even realize they were there, but I'll be damned if I wasn't entertained. Like this match is all about the moments, you know, it's the Kintai run-ins. It's the Rikishi dancing. It's the Rikishi eliminating everyone. It's the Rock showing up. It's, you know, the Rock winning the match. There's a lot of different little moments within this, and there's something for everyone in this match.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's not the star-powered, you know, flair event that the Royal Rumble usually is, but fuck, this is just an entertaining product right here.
I will say, though, this is one of the best Royal Rumble pay-per-views to go watch. Yeah. This pay-per-view slaps beginning to end. It's...
Yeah.
So good all the way through. So like if you want to have an experience where you watch a whole show, watch Rumble 2000. It will be good the whole way through. Yeah. I do think Mae Young shows her titties at one point. You should probably skip that.
That won't be in the Peacock era, so you don't have to worry
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. You're not going to have any old lady titties on the... You're going to have Mosh titties, but no, no Mae Young titties. That's where we draw the line, people. What a weird line.
I think that's the perfect place to end this podcast.
I agree. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JML Sports. Catch me talking about UMass fucking hockey, who just won the national championship, baby.
That's right. UMass won the Frozen Four. They're national champs.
I still can't believe it. I don't care about hockey at all, but the fact that UMass fucking Amherst is the national champions, are the national champions in anything, is incredible.
It's like, to me, whenever the Olympics come around, it's like, I could care less about the biathlon, but if a Canadian wins, I'm like, yeah!
Let's fucking go!
Yeah, I love it! Follow me on Twitter, at It's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram, at Crossbody of Work. Next week, covering the Shield. It's gonna be dope. Gonna have a really good time. We're gonna watch some good matches. I'm excited.
Sierra, Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
Glad you nailed it on Delta there. Javier, any last words for the people?
Black Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter. Shout out to Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair.
That's right.
And keep fighting the good fight, everybody.
We'll see you next week.